We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program a musician who has been recording and writing hit songs for more than four decades now, has performed with some of the biggest names in the business. Also, along with his wife, wrote a terrific memoir of his time in the music business called Backstage Pass. We're thrilled to be joined this afternoon by Joe Vitale. Joe, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. How are you guys all doing out there?
Well, we're doing great, thanks. I want to talk about this amazing career you've had, and it started, like most rock and rollers did, being in a polka band, right?
It was. When you're Italian and you're a musician, the first thing you do is a polka band, whether you like it or not.
And it was a family polka group.
Yeah, my father and my brother and myself, yeah, and all my uncles were musicians, and I mean, it was a very musical family.
Well, from there, you went on to team up with Ted Nugent as one of the original Amboy Dukes. What was that experience like for you?
Pretty interesting, pretty wild, because when I played with Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes, it was my first national gig, actually, and touring wise and all that, because I had been playing in, a lot of the teen dances and clubs and all that. So my first experience of on the road with Ted was pretty intense, I must say.
Was he pretty much the same guy then as he is now?
Well, kind of, yeah. He was, he's very outspoken, and he's, I like Ted. He's who he is, and he's never changed, and he has thoughts about things, and he sticks to them, and I respect that, and you don't have to agree with him, but he's just great on the stage, a lot of energy, and we had a good time. I was only with him a short period of time because that's when I started with Joe Walsh then.
But Ted, I understand, was pretty cool with the fact that you were going to team up with Joe. You knew Joe, of course, from your time at Kent State, and Ted understood this was a great opportunity for you.
He was very sweet about it. He was very nice about it. He knew my history with Joe because I had known Joe for a few years before I started working with him. He was not upset at all. He actually encouraged it. He said, "That's great. You guys will be great. Blah blah blah. Good luck," and all that. He was very, very nice about it, and that was really nice because I was worried that my first big kind of gig, I'm leaving. But me and Joe had spoken about working together for a long time. And I said, I told Joe, I gave my word. I said, the moment you want to do something, you call and I'll drop what I'm doing and I'll meet up with you. And so that's what I did.
And didn't just meet up, but relocated too as you headed out west to Colorado. Now, was that primarily because producer Bill Simzik was there?
Yes. Bill Simzik had produced the James Gang. He was a staff producer for ABC Dunhill. And he moved to Colorado because he had lived in L.A., and after the first earthquake, that did it for him. He left and moved to Denver, and when we when Joe broke off from the James Gang, we started our band, he said, I want to be where my producer is. So, and he was kind of tired of Ohio at that point, I guess. Maybe just wanted a whole brand new, life and just let's move out of here and do this and all that. Anyway, so yeah, I moved to Colorado and we put together the band and Bill Simzik was out there and it was a lot of fun. It was good years. It was really, really great music years. The 70s had a lot of great classic rock come out of it.
Well, you co-wrote Rocky Mountain Way with Joe Walsh and you were there at a time too when there was an unbelievable music scene. People from all over the country were heading out to that part of America to write and play their songs.
Well, rock and roll has a thing about migrating. It migrates from town to town at times and in certain decades, L.A. was the big city. Then all of a sudden, everybody's moving to the mountains. And then Miami had a big, big deal going on with the disco years and all that. And there was a lot of music being recorded down there with the Bee Gees and all that. And then, and Nashville's always been great and music city. And, of course, New York City will never be less than one of the best cities for music. And so, but rock and roll kind of migrates. I think it's just kind of a a fad or something, all of a sudden the new place to be is here. And then so everybody goes there for a while, then they must get tired of it and then move on to the next place, you know. But during the 70s, the Boulder, Denver, Colorado mountain area was huge with, you know, Stephen Stills, Manassas, Danny Fogelberg, Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys, and Firefall, and Joe Walsh. Who else? Jeez, there was so many people out there. And it just kind of, I don't know if it burns itself out or if it just gets, now that, you know, they want to, some, you know, people want to do something different or whatever, but that was, it was really hot then, because then they built Caribou Studios.
Right, right.
And everybody, Elton, John Lennon, everybody under the sun recorded it in Colorado. So the first, you know, from I'd say 71 till about 77, 78, all that, it was really rocking in Colorado.
We're talking with Joe Vitale here on Downtown. Not everything survived that migration out west. Can you tell the story of what happened to your snakeskin coat?
Oh, well, that's a funny story. When I played with Nugent, you know, he's a Detroit rocker, and it wasn't quite glam rock like the 80s, but we dressed up pretty good, and I didn't have enough money to buy a real snake skin coat, so I got one of these ones that were vinyl. When I wore it out west, when Joe Walsh saw that coat, he ran out and he chased me down the street to get that coat. He hated that coat. So when we were in the studio one night, and I was out in the room doing some overdub or something, well, him and the bass player, Kenny Pasquarelli, they grabbed the coat, went outside with lighter fluid, and lit it on fire. And that was the end of that coat.
Another great story I've heard about you involves a jam session, and I wish there was video footage of this. Was this before or after you moved out west that your dad was jamming with Joe, your dad on accordion and Joe on guitar?
Well, yes, and my dad made wine, and like every old Italian guy did back then, and he had a 30-gallon jug, I mean jug, 30-gallon barrel of wine downstairs. And when the band played here in Ohio, we went to my mother's, and every time we played in Ohio, we went to my mom's for dinner, because she had, it was the best Italian restaurant in the state of Ohio. Anyway, so, and then afterwards, my dad would break out his homemade wine, and, you know, Joe's drinking days are over now, but back then he could drink pretty good. And, him and my dad, they polished off quite a bit of wine. And then my dad got his accordion out and Joe got his guitar out, and they were a couple of winos playing the blues. Oh my God. If to have, you know, we have cell phones now with video, and you know, if just to have video back then, I mean, it would have been so amazing to see that and witness that now. And, the only thing I can do is it's in my memory and remember it and laugh out loud when I think about it. But I wish what I'd do to have video of that.
Now, Joe was legendary for the way he treated hotel rooms on the road. Did you get pulled into any of that?
No, I couldn't afford it. you know, we got into some water fights and some this and that and the other. And he paid for it all, so... You know, the song Life's Been Good is a lot of truth to that. but he tried to drag us into that, but we made him swear that, you know, he'd pay for the damage.
Well, Joe then, of course, headed off to join up with the Eagles, and you got an opportunity to do the same. And for a number of years, you were essentially a part of the band, the touring band.
Right. I was a utility guy. I played different instruments, and I played drums when... Oh, well, me and Henley both played drums together, but I played drums when Henley would go out front, and he still does that. They've got another guy in there, and, you know, the Eagles music, it's totally playable with five people, because that's the way they recorded it, but... The way things are now, the way, you know, people pay a lot of money for tickets, and they expect, you know, a good show, a good sounding show. and you have to bring some extra guys on the road to do that because of all the overdubs and extra production in making records. And so I was the guy, the utility guy, and I went around stage, played different things and added, you know, and also sang and, you know, and, you know, a lot of bands do that now. And the Eagles have quite a few people out on the road. And but you know what? It doesn't really matter. What matters is when you count off and the song sounds great and the people feel like they got their money's worth, that's what's important.
When you co-wrote one of my favorite Eagles tracks, too, Pretty Maids All in a Row.
That is a beautiful song. It came out so well, and those guys, they do it so well, and especially with the Hell Freezes Over when they did it with the string section, everything was just beautiful.
How'd you get together with Stephen Stills and that crew?
Well, that's a long story. We were making a Jay Ferguson record, and Jay Ferguson from Spirit and JoJo Gunn, and we were making a solo record of his, and me and this bass player from Florida, George Chocolate Perry, and we were playing on that record, and it was Bill Simzik producing, and we were in L.A., and I had known Stephen before this, but Stephen was recording in another studio, and he walked into our studio because he knew Bill Simzik. He knew us, and he wanted to come in and listen. And when he came in there and heard me and George Chocolate playing on one of Jay's tracks, he fell in love with us as a rhythm section. And after that night, he got a hold of us and he said, "Hey, I want you guys to be on my record." I said, "Well, great. Are you kidding? Stephen Stills?" And so we did. And then, that moved to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And then we brought Neil Young in. And, I mean, it became 35 years for me. I played with CSN for 35 years.
Well, let's go back just a couple of years. How did you end up? Now, you grew up, I assume, a Cleveland Indians fan. How did you and Ken Franklin end up writing Chicago Cubs Family, celebrating those Cubs, for goodness sakes?
Well, I was doing some music placement business with Ken, and really didn't know him that well. It was just a business partnership, and then he had been doing some business with Carl from the Buckinghams,
right?
And Carl's a a Chicago guy. And the Buckinghams actually sing the national anthem once every year at the Cubs games. And somebody had this idea to write a song, a Cubs song, because they had won the World Series. And so I don't know how it all really just fell into place. All of a sudden, we got this idea and this song, and it was Ken and a young lady that were writing, and then me and Carl were the musicians, and it just it was just one of those things. There's things like that happen all the time where you don't really plan anything, and all of a sudden you get a call and hey, you're interested in doing this, and you go, yeah, that sounds cool, and you do this, and then move to that, and then all of a sudden it becomes a big deal. And We held off now a little bit because I think they're waiting for the Cubs to get a little bit better season going. But that song is not—it's not done yet. I mean, we're just—I think we're just waiting to see how the Cubs do and then introduce them to the song. But they do—they have heard it and they really like it. So, of course I'm a Cleveland Indians fan, but I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball, so I root for everybody.
Well, Joe, great stories in the book, Backstage Pass. Thank you so much for the great music through the years and for making time for us here this afternoon.
Well, I appreciate the call. And, anytime you want to talk, there will always be new stories.
I love that. Thank you so much, Joe.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. That's Joe Vitale here on Downtown.